From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where some professors at Wentworth Institute of Technology are leaving their jobs because working on campus during the pandemic has burned them out. GBH's Kirk Carapezza has been looking into what some call an exodus of faculty, and he joins us now. Hey, Kirk, how's it going?
It's going all right, Paris. How are you?
I'm doing well, but I gotta say, like, what is going on here? The school year just started.
Did the last one end? Are we still keeping track of time in months or days? I mean,
I think they're all blending together.
Well, I mean, with the situation at Wentworth, it really depends, you know, who you ask when it comes to what's going on campus there. Professors and staff are describing basically a situation where people are resigning or retiring en masse, and they're citing COVID-related anxiety, especially as the Delta variant is on the rise.
Yeah, I know a lot of campuses are trying to navigate their way through that. And Kirk, you spoke with some of those professors who've quit. What'd they say?
Yeah, I caught up with Dr. Ryan Rogers. Now, last year she was balancing a full load of courses as a biology professor. Rogers told me she reached her breaking point when during the pandemic, administrators required her to teach her labs in person.
My mental health was trash. My hair started falling out. I felt like I was running a race with no water stations in the heat and a moving finish line.
In the fall, the 33-year-old biologist and mother of two says she was running out of steam.
I felt pulled in so many directions and like I was doing a bad job as a professor, a bad job as a committee leader, and a terrible job as a mom. And then don't even mention trying to be a successful partner.
So in October, she submitted her resignation, giving up her dream job.
At the end of the day, it didn't feel right, and my well-being was more important.
Oh, well, yeah, you can't really argue with that. And Kirk, that's getting at something that we've been seeing nationally, this thing called the Great Resignation, where scores of people are leaving their jobs and rethinking what they want to do and how they want to spend their time.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's going to have these moments, right, when you're sitting at home doing your job. If you're lucky enough to be able to work from home and you think, is this really what I want to do?
Is that what's happening at Wentworth? I mean, how many people have left?
Yeah, Rogers is one of at least 14 faculty who've resigned, retired, or been fired since the start of the pandemic. That's 10% of the faculty. Now, in all, more than 75 senior leadership faculty and staff have left, either on their own or they were pushed out. Now, of course, there's turnover everywhere right now, but the situation at Wentworth is extraordinary in higher education. Professors blame a toxic work environment and leadership's lack of flexibility and empathy. 7 of those 14 professors who've left are women. That's a huge hit for a small technical college where female faculty are underrepresented. Administrators say they've tried to accommodate these professors, but the college and higher ed as a whole are not immune to broader labor trends. Here's Wentworth President Mark Thompson.
The pandemic has brought about this national phenomenon of people moving, taking advantage of opportunities for greater salaries, career advancement, some are retiring early.
Thompson says the college in Boston employs more than 500 people, and administrators have been trying to be flexible with these faculty members while also responding to students' demands for more in-person instruction.
You always have, you know, a situation or two where that balance and that tension between service to students and the employees' needs can't necessarily be exactly met. I felt we took a very compassionate approach.
And Paris Thompson says 5 professors who left took planned retirements, so he does not characterize this turnover as an exodus.
And how are the professors responding to that?
Well, they strongly disagree. In fact, last fall, they took a vote of no confidence in Thompson, specifically citing a lack of support for women and caregivers. Higher ed labor advocates say administrators across the country aren't doing enough for women who are leaving in greater numbers than men during the pandemic because they often have the additional burden of childcare. Mathematician Irene Mulvey is president of the American Association of University Professors, and she says last year, young female professors couldn't send their kids to school or daycare and often had to supervise their learning. Now, that meant mothers weren't able to teach, research, and write, and that will have long-term consequences for American higher ed.
Female faculty members are submitting papers at a much lower degree than they did before the pandemic. And that's going to make it more difficult for women to get tenure.
So was that the case for Ryan Rogers, the former biology professor you told us about earlier?
No, in fact, she had contributed to textbooks and had received tenure 6 years ago when she was just 27 years old. She told me that every moment of her life up until that point was spent trying to get tenure. Post-pandemic, Rogers says she'll consider returning to the classroom, but for now she's actually working on a children's book series about female scientists who made major discoveries in biology and genetics.
Oh, well, that sounds like an awesome project. Not a bad silver lining, I guess.
Yeah, we always try to find the silver lining in these bleak times.
Indeed, we do. That's GBH reporter Kirk Carapeza. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before we go, tomorrow marks the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks on the World Trade Center in New York City. My co-host, Arun Roth, was in the city that day, and he joins us now to reflect on 9/11 and how the world has changed in the two decades since. Hey, Arun, how you doing?
Doing okay. It's been interesting talking about this.
Yeah. I mean, tell us about that day, where you were and what you were doing and what all happened for you.
I was living in New York City, producing on the media for NPR and WNYC. WNYC is in Lower Manhattan at that time. They've moved since, but just 5 blocks from the World Trade Center. But that morning, I was at home in Brooklyn, renting a car to go to a public radio conference, which of course didn't happen. And in Brooklyn, you know, we could see the fires, and my colleagues at WNYC there in Lower Manhattan were reporting on it. About half an hour after each tower fell, there was a cloud of debris and smoke that passed through Brooklyn, you know, on its way out of Manhattan. It was a feature of the sky that was just gone and replaced by this, you know, column of smoke that burned for months. I tell you, Paris, the one thing, I was really happy to be working for NPR and doing journalism at that time because it was something to do, right? You know, we got together, I think, the next day to talk about a news coverage plan and coordination with NPR, and it helped be thrown into breaking news coverage because otherwise I think it would have gone, I would have lost it, I think, if I had not had the actual news itself to focus on.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic. In these times of crisis, journalists often want to be right there in the middle of it and telling those stories. And I know, Arun, that you went on to tell sort of a litany of stories about a key part of the aftermath of 9/11.
Yeah, and this was a good 10 years, I think, after the attack before I started covering the military commissions in Guantanamo. And, you know, I've made up close to 10 trips to Guantanamo since then. But the first one, I think, really defined it because it was basically the military commission style of an arraignment for the five individuals accused of plotting the 9/11 attacks, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is the acknowledged mastermind of the 9/11 attacks. This is the guy who decided that they were going to hijack planes, use box cutters. He had the people train to kill people, got to see him on the other side of this double-sided bulletproof glass at Guantanamo. Remember Danny Pearl, the journalist from the Wall Street Journal who was killed in Pakistan? He was killed by Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And during part of the hearing, I was sitting next to Danny Pearl's best friend. And we watched Khalid Sheikh Mohammed smiling and laughing and at one point praying. It was something I'll never forget.
Yeah, that is almost unimaginable. And how is all that resonating for you, Arun, considering where we are on Afghanistan today?
Well, I got to say, it resonates in a sad, sad way, Paris. I was writing about this recently where being in New York on 9/11, you saw the best of people and really the way that people came together. And there was nowhere else I wanted to be, actually, because people were so wonderful. That's not what remains, though. What remains is Guantanamo. What remains is this never-ending war. The war in Afghanistan has ended, but we still have this massive security apparatus which has come to define us. We have torture. We can't undo that. That's part of what we did as a result of it. So I don't want to take away from the heroism that defined a lot of the country's response to what happened, but I kind of feel a little bit sad and bitter on the 20th anniversary, looking back on it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there are a whole range of emotions that people are going to be feeling around this anniversary, and I really thank you for sharing yours.
Thanks, Paris. It's good to talk about it. Good to talk about it with you.
That's Consider This co-host Arun Roth. And from the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Halston. Be well. Oh, it's been such a hard year, y'all. But the universe has good news for the lost, lonely, and heartsick. Dear Sugars is hosted by Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond, who field all your questions, no matter how deep or dark, and offer radical empathy in return. Check out Dear Sugars wherever you get your podcasts.